بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وأفضل الصلاة وأتم التسليم على أكرم الخلق سيدنا وحبيبنا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قال الله عز وجل شاهدا على علو خلق النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم حبيبه المصطفى: وإنك لعلى خلق عظيم. وقد قال حبيبنا العظم صلى الله عليه وسلم: بعثت لأتمم مكارم الأخلاق. أسرعنا بسعيد درود شريف. اللهم صل على سيدنا وحبيبنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. Most respectable and honorable ulama ikram, Hufaz of the Quran Kareem, elders and friends in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We are extremely fortunate, due to which we praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala abundantly for the greatest thinkable favor and boon that Allah can bestow upon any human being, and that is a great ni'mah of iman. We are similarly extremely fortunate to be included in this great ummah, the ummah of our beloved Sayyiduna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the most beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his entire creation, the most lofty and rank in status in the entire creation of Allah azza wa jal, in this world as well as the eternal life of the hereafter. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as a great, great favor upon humanity, had sent Habibul Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as rahmatan lil alameen, as a source of mercy and compassion to all the realms and kingdoms and worlds. And therefore, one of the great huquq and rights that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam enjoys over us, or otherwise put, one of the fundamental responses or reciprocation from our side for this great favor of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is that we emulate the mannerisms, the conduct and the ways of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam as far as possible in all aspects of our lives. Now, there are many, many aspects of the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that one can go into great detail about. To cite as a proof, one of the great collections of ahadith is a great book, a kitab known as Shama'il Tirmidhi. Now in here, the compiler Imam Tirmidhi rahimahullah, the great muhaddith, has compiled various aspects pertaining to the personality, the physical description and habits of our beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He commences by describing the physical attributes and the great beauty that Allah has blessed Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam with. In the hadith by Sayyidina Ali radiallahu an, after a detailed description of the various physical features, the Mubarak face, the Mubarak eyes, the eyelashes, the entire bodily description of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, at the conclusion of this most beautiful hadith, the eulogist and the describer has no recourse but to say, مَا رَأَيْتُ أَحْسَنَ مِنْهُ قَبْتُ قَبْلَهُ وَلَا بَعْدَهُ. Never have I set eyes on anything more beautiful and more handsome than Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and never will I ever do so in the future. Now this book then goes on to mention various aspects, an entire chapter dedicated to the appearance of white hair on the Mubarak beard of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the eyes, the various mannerisms and habits, eating, drinking, even the laughter, the walking of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is specifically described. It culminates in the parting advices of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to this ummah. And this is mentioned in no less than 66 different chapters. But for today's discussion, and very pertinent to a massive onslaught on social problems that are rearing themselves in the most nightmarish forms, as far as social problems within the communities are concerned, we find in Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the classical example that he had played as an integral member of the family structure. And when the family structure is eroded, when a person deviates away from the divinely commanded code of behavior within the family structure, then not surprising to notice the ravaging of the family from its bases, brothers being enemies to one another, the worst form of abuse between husband and wife, elders losing all dignity and respect, and youngsters being devoid of sympathy and compassion. Really, the time limits that we have does not do justice to the great role Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has played from every angle of being a family member and the classical example that he was. In as far as being the perfect son, you know, there is a book describing Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Al-Insanul Kamil, the perfect human being, and there is absolutely no iota of exaggeration in this description. Despite the fact that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam never seen his father and had a very limited period with his beloved mother Sayyida Amina radiallahu anha, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has gone great lengths in according the highest levels of respect and obedience to one's parents by saying, Al-Jannatu tahta aqdamil ummahat, Jannah lies beneath a mother's feet. Ridha Rabbi fi ridha al-walid, the anger of Allah is in the anger of one's father, and Allah's happiness lies in a father being happy with his child. You know, there was a woman of very high ranking status amongst the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Hadhrat Sayyida Ummu Ayman radiallahu anha, whose name is Barakah. She was of East African origins, was initially a slave girl owned by the father of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam later on set her free, and she played a pivotal motherly role throughout the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Many scholars say that for the fact that she had literally been at the side of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam from the moment of his Mubarak birth until the very sad moment of his departure from this temporary abode, and she was the one human being who could speak to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam as a motherly figure. Subhanallah, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, Ummu Aymana ummi ba'da ummi. Ummu Ayman radiallahu anha played the role of my mother after my biological mother. And as far as relations with one's siblings is concerned, here once again we find that though Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not have any blood brothers and sisters, on an occasion after one of the battles, there were various captives from those who had opposed Islam, and amongst them a lady came to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and asked, do you recognize who am I? Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied in the negative. She says, I am your milk sister. I had also drank from Halima Sa'diyah radiallahu anha as you had done so as a child. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked her to furnish proof. She says that as little infants, while we were playing, one day you bit me on my shoulder, and that mark remains imprinted in my body up to this day. We would translate this as one of the greatest honors that she would enjoy. And look at the lofty character. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, on account of this relationship that had manifested itself many decades later, accorded this respect and love and compassion for one's siblings, to say that on account of this relationship, I personally intercede on your behalf to have yourself and your companion set free. On seeing this akhlaq, the sister of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Shayma radiallahu anha, recited the kalima and entered the fold of Islam. As far as respect to the elders of the clan goes, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's being extremely saddened on the fact that Abu Talib, his uncle who had rendered such services to Islam, left this world without reciting the kalima. Such was the effect on Sayyiduna Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that the entire year of her demise is termed in the Sirah Amul Huzn, the year of sorrow and sadness, for two people had departed from close proximity of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abu Talib and the beloved wife of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sayyidah Khadija radiallahu anha. That then takes us into Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's role as the perfect, loving, compassionate husband. The very same mention, Sayyidah Khadija radiallahu anha, can we imagine what character Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam displayed to her? That on the occasion when wahi and revelation came to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for the very first time, and he was overawed by the occasion and was terrified with his great responsibility, she soothed him in the following words, and this is testimony of this lofty character. Kalla wallahi ma yukhzik Allahu abada. Never will Allah forsake you. Allah's help is with you at every step of the way. For you possess the following lofty and noble attributes. Innaka latasilu ar-rahim. You constantly enjoin family ties. Wa taqri ad-dayf. You feed the visitors and host them with an open heart. Wa taksibu al-ma'dhum. You make every effort to benefit the less fortunate. Wa tu'inu ala nawa'ib al-haq. And you assist in the cause of haq and truth wherever it may present itself. You know, to understand what levels Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has gone to in emphasizing the rights of compassion and love between husband and wife, long after the demise of Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when a friend of Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, one of his companions, would send to him as a gift some meat, for example, he would ask that some portions on some occasions be cut and sent to the family and the friends of Khadija radiallahu anha as a token of appreciation for what she had rendered as far as service towards Islam is concerned. Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, the beloved wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, says, Wallahi, لقد رأيت النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. She says, Wallah, the occasion is fresh on my mind. And this was many years after the departure of Rasul صلى الله عليه وسلم from this world. She says, the scene is fresh in front of my eyes when I, as a young, naive wife, was looking out of my room into the masjid courtyard where some of the Abyssinian slaves were practicing with spears for the purposes of jihad and to serve Islam in that way. She said they're playing, obviously I as a young little girl was attracted to this. She says Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stood there so that I could rest my head on his shoulders, and between his ears and his shoulders I looked at them playing. Subhanallah, we love Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, let us emulate. She says the akhlaq of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was such that until I did not move from there and I was satisfied, he did not move an inch. And only when I was tired of looking did he then move away from there. And then she says to us, فَقْدِرُوا قَدْرَ الْحَدِيثَةِ السِّنِّ الْحَرِيصَةِ عَلَى اللَّهْوِ. That appreciate this Nabi that Allah has given to you. Look at the lofty character that he takes cognizance of the feelings of his young, naive, immature wife, who was fascinated by games and by playing, so much so that he considered her feelings in this regard. When she was once asked, tell us about the akhlaq and the first action of Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam when entering the home, she says, after entering and making salam and manifesting his love and compassion to us, he would use the miswak, and in here is a great lesson and great wisdom. Obviously there is no question absolutely about using the miswak for any other purpose except a teaching for the ummah, teaching you and I that do not cause that amount of harm to your spouse, even a natural undesirable smell that may emanate from your mouth would not be condoned within marriage as far as respect and love for one another is concerned. Does it then behove this ummah, the lovers of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to stoop to the levels of physical, of emotional, financial and other forms of abuse? This is not the Nabi or the teachings of this great Nabi that we should adopt. Our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam has taught us the loftiest form of akhlaq, character, sympathy and compassion. Coming to the role that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam played as the perfect and most loving and compassionate father, such love was displayed to his children that the annals of history cannot produce. Our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam's mubarak habit, when coming back from a journey, one of the things that he would do was to kiss his daughters, and specifically Sayyida Fatima radiallahu anha, on her forehead on returning from a journey. Such was the bond and love between father and daughter. In the final moments of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's life, Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha says, Fatima radiallahu anha came towards us and she says, I would recognize her from her footsteps that it resembled the walking of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to such an extent. She came close to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who whispered in her ears. She shed a few tears and after some moments started smiling. She says, I asked Fatima radiallahu anha that do tell me what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said to you. She says, I cannot as yet divulge the secret of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But after the passing on of Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I asked her once again and she said, he said to me, O my beloved daughter, in the last Ramadan, unusually Jibreel alayhi salam had read two Qur'ans to me as opposed to one that was a normal habit. So I deduce from here that my time in this dunya is very limited. I shed tears on hearing this. He then consoled me saying, are you not pleased that you will be the first of my family members to come and join me in the akhirah? And are you not pleased that you are the leader of all women in this world and in Jannah? Now, a very, very important point is that our perception of fulfilling the rights towards one's children merely manifests itself in what we would term as open expressions of love and compassion, or an abundance of material provisions. This is way off the mark of what compassion is in the true sense of the word. The very self, Sayyida Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha, on the occasion when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was made a Nabi by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he summons and calls all his family members, relatives, tribesmen and clans people, and addressed each one specifically, his auntie, the various family members, specifically addressing Sayyida Fatima radiallahu anha, Ya Fatima, anqidhi nafsaki min al-nar. Make every effort to save yourself from the fire of Jahannam, for indeed if you come without iman, I cannot benefit you in the least bit in the everlasting life of the hereafter. On the occasion of Fath Makkah, when Makkah Mukarramah was conquered, a woman from a tribe, Banu Makhzum, whose name was also Fatima, committed the error of judgment and stole the command of Sharia as far as that is concerned, is emphatic in the Quran Kareem, for the hand to be cut. Now they were a high-ranking tribe. They sent the beloved of Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Usama bin Zayd, who was the son of the freed slave of Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The character of Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam was such that the first entrance into Islam was his wife, his young cousin, and there later on son-in-law Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu, age of 10, and Zayd bin Haritha, his freed slave, who was the father of Usama bin Zayd. So Usama bin Zayd radiallahu anhu pleaded on her behalf for the punishment to be lessened in some way. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam firstly manifested anger. O Usama, how do you find it within yourself to plead as far as the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are mentioned? This is justice in Islam. And thereafter that evening, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave a general khutbah saying, after praising Allah, that the downfall of previous nations was for the following reason, that when the rich and the noble amongst them would commit a crime, they would waver the punishment. But when the weak and downtrodden would commit the same crime, they would apply the punishment to him or to her. And then Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, by way of example, had Fatima, the daughter of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, committed the same act, then I would have absolutely no doubt whatsoever to establish the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon her as well. So this fine line that compassion means nurturing and rearing with tarbiyah. The very same grandchildren, Sayyidina Hassan Hussein radiallahu anhuma, extremely beloved to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when one of them as a child picked up a piece of date and wanted to chew it, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam very hastily removed it from his mouth, saying that this could be from the sadaqah and would be improper for you to consume even as a little child. In conclusion, a great incident in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam that really tells us that sympathy and compassion to one's children means obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's commands. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu once said to his students, should I not tell you of a great incident in the life that I have had with the beloved of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, my beloved wife Sayyidina Fatima radiallahu anha. He says, she went through great difficulties as a wife. The tasks of the home had taken effect on her. She would personally grind the wheat, and this caused calluses to appear on her hand. She would personally fetch the water, the leather bag and its strap imprinted a mark on her chest. She would sweep the home, because of which her clothes would become affected by the dirt of the home. I once pleaded with her when I had known that some slaves had come to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that go and request Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to grant you a servant that may assist you in this household chores. She says, I came to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but because there were many people there, I was overtaken with haya and modesty, the golden quality of a mu'minah. I could not find it in myself to make the request. And this is the father. Look at the bond. The next day, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to our house and said, O Fatima, you had come to me for a specific reason. Why did you not manifest it? She says, I was still too shy to even mention it there. My husband, Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu, then mentioned the reason for her going there to request a servant. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to her, Ya Fatima, ittaqillah. Have the fear, the consciousness, the awareness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Continuously fulfill the responsibilities of your home. Unfortunately, those servants have been given to the yatama, to the orphans of Badr. And this is justice and this is leadership qualities. If we look at the happenings in North Africa and Middle East, those who may have portrayed themselves as sincere true leaders did not possess this quality of sympathy and compassion, and dhulm and oppression has its limits. He says, unfortunately, I have distributed them to the orphans of Badr. However, let me teach you something better. And this is the crux of what we say in today's discussion, that in every role played as a family member, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's primary objective was to link the creation to the creator. Oh my beloved daughter, should I not teach you something better? Say after every salah and before you sleep, Subhanallah 33 times, Alhamdulillah 33 times, and Allahu Akbar 34 times. This would be better for you than any other gift that they can confer upon you. And therefore this tasbih is known as the tasbih Fatimi. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu, many years later, says that from that day onwards up to now, never have I forsaken reading this after each salah and before sleeping. When being asked, even in the thick of battles and jihad, he says, even on that occasion have I never left out this great tasbih. So we play our roles within the family members as husbands, as children, as parents, as siblings, deriving from the lofty character and the akhlaq and the teachings of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين.